We're talking today with Dale Moore with American Farm Bureau and their D.C. headquarters. Dale, all things election still. I know we're still sorting out everything that's gone on back on the 3rd of November. The president's still looking for an avenue to maybe turn things around. But bottom line, it looks like the Biden camp is moving forward. Biden transition team is underway. What are you hearing from that camp? What are you expecting to see out of the Biden administration in the early days of 2021?
Well, Ron, first I want to make sure that folks understand this. I know you follow this closely, but we have some that tend to overlook the fact that we've still got the rest of this Congress to get wrapped up, the 116th Congress. And so there's a number of issues, particularly with the budget deadline that's looming out there on December 11th. So that's one focus that we've got the attention to, and that's something that we've had the opportunity when we've already had a couple of outreaches to and from the transition team for President-elect Biden. And one of the things that is encouraging is the folks that are reaching out to us are folks that we know well from having served at USDA or served up on Capitol Hill or around town, but certainly folks that are known to agriculture. And that's always an important detail that it, when we have a new administration coming in, to know that the men and women we're going to be interacting with on behalf of farmers and ranchers in rural communities across the country is that the individuals that are going into the agencies, particularly at the Department of Agriculture, that they do understand agriculture, that they come from agriculture. So that's been the encouraging part of this part so forth. And as we move forward on this, we are anticipating we're going to see more of those hopefully familiar faces to make sure and have the opportunity to make sure they see and hear and understand what the key priorities are and the big challenges are for the men and women of agriculture.
You mentioned the tail end of this congressional session, lame duck, of course, really getting underway now. Any hope of some additional stimulus that could be beneficial to agriculture, you think?
Ron, there's always hope. If one doesn't have hope, working in Washington, D.C. As an advocate for farmers and ranchers is probably not the job for you. You got to have the hope. You got to look at the opportunities, take advantage of every one of them. And we know Leader McConnell and his team in the Senate side are taking a good hard look at a number. Obviously, there's big gaps in the numbers that they are looking at, but I think there's a clear understanding both the House and Senate how important it is to have agriculture have a seat at this table and have some additional resources made available to cover those gaps. It's something that Secretary Perdue and his team, as well as Congress, the House and Senate Ag Committees have been working, House and Senate Ag Subcommittees on Appropriations for agriculture have been working through a lot of these issues over the year, making sure those gaps get filled. And that's one of the things we continue to push for, additional resources. Ron, you talk to enough farmers and ranchers and you have them listening to you day in and day out. They know, you know, that they would much prefer to see their income, coming from a marketplace, from a stable, reliable, robust market. But in these tough times, whether it's COVID-19 or trade wars or Mother Nature just being cranky on other fronts, how important it is to have a safety net, how important it is to have these assistance packages that have been welcomed that are helping farmers and ranchers, livestock producers kind of cross that bridge and get into the next crop season and hopefully get some relief not only from the weather, but from the markets.
Give me your thoughts on CFAP 1 and 2. If you had to grade them, how do you think they've performed for your members, for farmers, ranchers?
Well, I would say the CFAP 1 was welcome when it came out and very quickly, identified a number of gaps, challenges. In some cases, the lack of eligibility for certain crops and the Department of Agriculture responded, Secretary Perdue, Undersecretary Bill Northey, others on the team, reached out. We saw, Undersecretary Ibaugh and taking on some of the procurement, particularly for producers who had lost markets you know, because they delivered to a restaurant trade, for example, and those restaurants being shut down. So we saw the box program that not only benefited those in need of help putting food on the table, but certainly the farmers and livestock producers who had literally lost a market and had now had a place from at which to deliver what they were producing. So I would say that it was very welcome. Then as you know, the CFAP 2 and the process rolled along, what we have seen is just a continued ongoing effort by the department and certainly by Congress to work together to identify those issues. We've had opportunities throughout the year to provide information to the department. They've made adjustments in areas or where they completely lacked data. Once that data was provided, we're able to step in and provide some additional assistance to commodities and crops that had previously been uncovered. So as we're kind of looking at this next go-round, making sure that the Secretary has the flexibility working with Congress or encouraging Congress to provide, you know, the resources, but also the flexibility so that the Secretary of Agriculture, his team can continue to find what is the most efficient, most effective way to offer those benefits, and in turn also keep it flexible enough that should a challenge, a problem, a gap arise, we can take you know, that information to them and they can make an adjustment without requiring an act of Congress or some lengthy rulemaking process to make sure that farmers and ranchers, livestock producers, specialty crop producers, aquaculture, you name it, finding those gaps and covering them as best we can.
You mentioned, obviously, new Secretary of Agriculture, all honesty, it's likely going to be a different Secretary of Agriculture. We've heard some names. I'm sure you've heard names as well. Who would you anticipate that the President-elect Biden might lean toward when it comes to that decision?
Well, Ron, this is one of those questions where I'm going to prove to you I've been in Washington, D.C. for well over 35 years. And kind of dodge your question a bit in that we've heard a lot of names, three or four names that are former members of Congress, or in some cases may soon be former members of Congress in the House and the Senate. We've heard names that have been former members of the Obama administration. We've heard names that have come from the ranks of the State Departments of Agriculture heads across the country. And so there are a number of names floating out there, but here's what is critical from the standpoint of Farm Bureau in our view, and I think it's shared by most of the ag organizations across the country. That is, the Secretary of Agriculture, he or she needs to be somebody that understands how important it is to work with and treat farmers and ranchers as partners, collaborate, you know, look for voluntary incentive-based kind of approaches to address problems, issues, challenges that agriculture is facing, to work with our rural communities in programs that, again, are flexible enough to address needs and issues, but not prescriptive, in mandates and direction. We need someone who, not saying they have to come from a farm, but they certainly need to understand what it is like to year in and year out have Mother Nature for a partner. To have your markets, particularly when they're a commodity-based market, to have your market so dependent on not only what's going on in the United States relative to those markets, but what's going on in international trade and where are the trade tensions or where are there geopolitical tensions that can cause trade tensions, like some of the trade wars and battles that we've been through and agriculture has suffered the consequences of here, over the past several years. So you put all of those things together, somebody who knows agriculture, somebody who will listen to agriculture, and somebody who understands that the needs of rural America and of agriculture are going to be somewhat different than perhaps, the urban-suburban mindset may think.
One other question, Dale, in regards to some of the regulatory issues, we've made, I think, Farm Bureau, we would consider gains in regulatory issues under the Trump administration. Under a Biden presidency, do you think perhaps, for example, you'll have to refight Waters of the U.S. again? Are you concerned about that?
I will tell you, Ron, that we are geared up to protect the ground that we have gained on particularly like on the waters of the U.S. now and the new clean water rule that the Trump administration administrator Wheeler, has put out, worked very closely with us. As you know well, because you follow this closely, there's the court cases, the litigation that's going on, just as we, engaged in litigation when the WOTUS rule came out. So this is going to be an ongoing battle. It's something that back in the middle of the summer when we put out our questions to both presidential candidates and making it clear that is a very important issue and that the rule that has been achieved by this administration is one that, again, it's tough, but it's fair, it's balanced, and it gives agriculture producers an opportunity to do their jobs without undue impact, from this rule that the WOTUS rule had components of essentially of a land use planning more than a water rule. We know that there's going to be efforts to go after that. We are encouraged that the response we got from then candidate Biden and his camp indicated clearly that they are going to carefully review a number of different regulations, just as every administration does when it comes in. And our sincere hope is that they will focus on how do they maintain the balance that has been achieved in this rule and help continue to move forward in implementing across the board in a way that gets the litigation that has got everything, kind of turmoiled here a bit, does not get out of hand, but rather gets out of the way so that this rule that has been achieved in this administration can move forward.
One last question, Dale. 2021 coming real quickly. You've obviously, your membership, your board of directors had to decide to go virtual on your annual convention this year. What does that mean as far as policy development for AFBF?
Well, it's just like you and I having this opportunity, in a what would, I guess folks would call a normal year. Ron, you and I had the chance to be, standing next to each other and having a conversation, in the convention center there in Kansas City. Different this year, you and I having this, conversation virtually. It's one of the things that our team, and we've worked with a number of other folks working very diligently to make sure that we have a platform in place so that at our convention, which is going to be virtual, as well as our annual meeting, that our delegates are able to work through a policy development process that is so critical to how we operate from our grassroots up, that those delegates from each of our Farm Bureau states in Puerto Rico are able to not only view what is going on and be part of the discussion, the debate, on the policies as they are being considered, but feel like that they have and sense that they are very much able to engage in this process, given the tough situation that we are in. And I'm sure that we're going to learn lessons. Several of our states are having virtual conventions as well. And each one of those provides just a little bit more information that we're hopeful will help us fine tune ours to where it runs smoothly, not only for the delegates and for our leadership across the country as they work through our grassroots development, policy development process, but also for folks like you, Ron, who like to, to tune in and keep an eye on how that process is working and also glean some information that you can share with your listeners. So we are hopeful that this is going to be very smooth. We are excited about seeing how well it works and kind of the lessons learned from there, and look forward to seeing you in that format when we get our convention and our annual meeting up and running.
Thank you, Dale. Dale Moore with American Farm Bureau. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.